Good morning, and thanks for tuning in for today's edition of Community Conversations, our current affairs program here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler, and we have a very informative show for you today. There are elections for various special districts happening, and today we talk with four of the candidates for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees in separate interviews. I think it's fair to say this race is more hotly contested than normally seen for the Library Board, and today you'll get a chance to hear from the four candidates in their own words. We talk with Janine Ash and Amy Flint, who are the two incumbents, and their challengers, Jalen Peters and Kathy Rose. The library race has been animated by the issue of mask requirements that have been in place at the library. The mask policy was being held for review by the Board of Trustees when we conducted these interviews, and just on Friday, after these interviews were conducted, the trustees held a special meeting on the policy and voted to discontinue the mask requirement effective June 1st. After that date, masks will be encouraged but no longer required at the library. In a statement, the board said it will continue to monitor COVID cases along with new information and reassess the policy as the situation changes. Election Day is Tuesday, May 18th, when all regular county polling places will be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. But note, early voting is underway right now at the Bonner County Elections Office in the county building at 1500 Highway 2. You can vote there any business day from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. up to Friday, May 14th. If you're not yet registered to vote, you can register at the polls. One more note. Our four interviews are presented here with the candidates in alphabetical order. We record our interviews by phone or Zoom, and the audio is sometimes a bit warbly. That was the case in our first interview coming up next with Janine Ash, when a few seconds of her response to our question about her experience with libraries is inaudible. To correct that blip, her answer mentioned she is a retired library professional who has worked for 40 years in a variety of clerk, librarian, and management positions. So with all that, here are the interviews with our four library trustee candidates. We're speaking now with Janine Ash. She's a candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees. Janine, thanks for talking with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start with an introduction. Tell us a bit about yourself, including how and when did you wind up here in Bonner County?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm an Idaho native. I was born in Idaho, got sort of taken away for a little time, but I'm back. I'm married. I've been married 41 years. I have two grown children, one who lives here in Sandpoint, one who is just getting promoted to commander in the Navy. I also have two rambunctious dogs. My husband's a retired fire chief and has volunteered here in the community search and rescue. He's now on the animal board. He's on Rotary. So we're a very volunteer sort of family. For fun, I'm an amateur painter, beginning gardener, book lover, and hiker. We began visiting Sandpoint about 15 years ago. We had friends that lived here, and we'd come up to ski and go to the music festival, and my husband has a sister who lives over in Nelson. And one time when there wasn't a lot of snow, we went into town and we went to the library, and I was just amazed at what a nice library it was. I was so impressed. They had a banned book display going on, and it was a fairly new building at the time, and I thought you can tell a lot about a community by its library. So at that time, I decided that I could possibly retire here, and we did in 2012.
And you wound up getting involved with the library as well.
Yes,
so
I did get involved with the library. It's one of the first things I did, as a matter of fact, went to ask if I can volunteer. I did story times to start off with, and then I started doing some tech tutoring where I help people develop resumes and apply for jobs and learn how to use their smartphones. And then I was appointed to the board in 2013. I applied for it. And then I was elected later, and I've been serving ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should have mentioned that at the start, you are one of the two incumbents that are running for this position. Well, tell us a little bit about your professional or personal experience that you feel provides good qualifications for a position on the library board.
Well, I think that I am definitely the most qualified person, except for maybe Amy Flint, who's also running with me. We're both very qualified. Science. I'm a retired librarian with 40 years of library experience. I started out age right out of high school and worked my way up and retired eventually as coordinator of literacy and outreach for a 13-branch system. I am fiscally conservative. While I've been on the board and when I was chairperson of the board, I've made sure that we did things that lowered our budget. I was chairperson of the events fundraising committee when we did the expansion, and we brought in $302,000 for that. I can't get credit for all of that, but I did lead the efforts for the Rotary galas that we did in conjunction with them. And I have also been Children's and Young Adult Services President for a library association. I have extensive grant writing experience. I've brought in over $2 million in my previous job for early literacy programs. I also have a lot of program development, budget, and personnel experience. I've been on a lot of community nonprofit boards too, and I have been either president, secretary, or treasurer for them. I am an avid supporter of the First Amendment and a person's freedom to choose what they want to read. That is a core of my belief. I've received many awards, Reading Association Service Award, of Women in County Government, Woman of the Year. I just think all of this together really makes me very qualified for this position.
You've kind of answered my next question, but I'll ask it again. You could just kind of reprise it. Why are you running for library trustee?
Well, I love our library. Like I said, I started volunteering right away here, and I just think our library is great. I want to see it continue to be great. I want the trustee positions to be filled with people who are qualified, including myself and Amy Flint. I know that the opponents primarily are running on a one-issue agenda, and I do not believe that they are as qualified as I am.
We'll get to issues in just a minute or two here, but and I'm asking all the other candidates this. For you, it's kind of a no-brainer. Have you ever attended a library board meeting?
Yes, many.
Yeah, as an incumbent, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, use the library regularly. Always have.
And you've mentioned you are a user of library services. What kind of library services do you use as just a consumer?
Well, I check out books, but I probably check out more ebooks now. I've learned to love ebooks on my iPad because you can look up words in the dictionary right like that. And
I do the same thing, by the way.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. And, oh, you can jump into, I was reading Gone with the Wind, and you can jump right into Wikipedia and read about a battle that, you know, that's going on. So I still read books, but also the ebooks have the light at night too. So I volunteer at the library. If I'm looking for particular information, I have used their databases. So yeah, I'm just probably a regular old library user.
Mm-hmm. And you've kind of answered this question too, but I'm trying to ask everybody the same questions. The library provides really diverse services, but it's still a lot about books. And you kind of already said you're a book reader and a book lover. Any books you want to mention that you've read lately that you like?
Oh, I'm reading right now, just finished from my book club, Eleanor Oliphant Will Be Okay. I've just read Good Lord Bird, which is about John Brown. I don't remember the other books, but yeah. I have a book going all the time. I tend to I read at night. I fall asleep easily while I'm reading, so I don't get through too many books in 1 month. But I always have a book on hand.
Okay, so let's talk about issues such as they relate to library. What do you think are issues that voters should pay mind to in this election as concerns specifically the East Bonner County Library?
In this election specifically?
Yes. Yep.
Well, of course, the mask is a big issue, and that's why my opponents are primarily running. It's been a very difficult time, I think, for libraries, for schools, for any business during this pandemic. We needed to make some tough decisions about what we were going to do, and based on the science that we had, we made the decision to close the library for a while. And there are a lot of libraries throughout the United States that are still not open. Where I used to live, they are just opening now on limited hours. I believe that we made the right decision about wearing a mask and requiring a mask. And being a librarian, it was very, very important to me that everybody had access to the library. So whether it's somebody that didn't want to wear a mask or somebody who didn't want to come to the library because they didn't feel safe even with a mask, we started curbside services, which I really, really pushed for that. So you could call up the library and ask for any book or any group of books or 10 children's books or 10 movies or a particular title, and they would deliver it to your car outside. We also have the online resources that are available, the ebooks, the audiobooks. We have movies that are available online. So I think that a lot of the people that have been concerned about the mask issue have not really taken advantage of that. But I wanted to make sure that pretty much any service that we had was available to anyone. I am considering, I sent an email out to the board a little while ago that I thought we needed to talk about, maybe revising our mask policy, maybe looking at a couple days a week that are safe days, or we've also talked about that one of the board members mentioned that we needed to look at our filtration system. There might be some way of amping that up a little bit more. So I want to open so badly. I want to be safe so badly. And I just think it's so sad that we've been closed for so long or not available to everybody except through things like curbside services.
Well, as an incumbent, you mentioned that you already have suggested that the board look at some least halfway measures, but can you take a look and say, well, when do you think the library will get back to more normal operating in terms of the mask mandate specifically?
Well, I'm hoping soon. I mean, I'm hoping within the next 2 to 3 weeks, maybe. I don't think we're going to ever be, or I shouldn't say ever, but I don't think we're going to be back to normal right away. I think that there will still be some restrictions. And I also think, you know, if we have with some of these new strains of viruses that are coming out, if our community just goes crazy again, we have a responsibility. As much as I want to have the library open, we have a responsibility to make sure our staff are safe and to make sure that people that come into the library are safe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any other issues that you see, you know, on the plate of the board to be working on here during this next term?
Yes, not so much as an election issue, but we expanded our library and we added a room for youth to come to after school, because the library was just packed with youth, and we worked with Rotary on that, and the room is too small. So we need to figure out, and I'm not sure what the solutions are yet. We have some time to think about it. But we need to figure out how to accommodate more youth after school and keep them engaged, because the library is where they're going. They're not going anywhere else. They're coming to the library. And whether it means, diverting some of our other areas to make it more available for youth, or whether it means maybe eventually doing another expansion or addition to the library, or if it means more collaborations with some other organizations. But that's an issue. Our last legs, I forget how old it is. I think it's 10 or 15 years old, but it's breaking down. And a bookmobile is really essential to our core services of reaching those in outlying areas. And it's not just like buying a car. It is really like a branch library. So you need to build the bookmobile around the services that you need to provide, and you need to anticipate what those services might be in the future too. So those are two big issues.
Okay, and you did break up a little bit there, but you were talking about the bookmobile there at the end. And we're just about out of time. We have about 30 seconds or so for you to make a last statement, bring up anything you'd like to mention, you know, why, what you think voters ought to be looking at for this election, in just only about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, I think qualifications are key here. And I think I'm very qualified. Amy Flint is very qualified. I don't think this is a political issue at all. It should make no difference whether you are a Republican or a Democrat or an independent for this. You should be voting on qualifications. And I've demonstrated that I have really great qualifications, and I just love our library, and I want to keep serving on our library board.
Well, Janine Ash, candidate for East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Chris. Take care.
We're speaking now with Amy Flint, candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees, and in fact, an incumbent. And I believe you're the currently serving president. Is that correct, Amy?
Chairperson, yes.
Chairperson, yes. Well, thanks for talking with us today. I want to start with an introduction. Tell us a bit about yourself and how and when did you wind up here in Bonner County?
Well, I've lived here. This is my 30th year right now as a Bonner County resident. And a little more than 30 years ago, when I first visited the area, I just absolutely fell in love with it. Prior to that, I had moved around. I'd lived briefly in California, in Colorado, in Washington State, and Sandpoint just felt like home to me. There was no question in my mind, and I have felt that way about it ever since. I've served on the library, the Board of Trustees. Well, I might as well give you a little bit more information about it. I have four daughters and seven grandchildren, most of whom are boys. It's a little overwhelming after raising four girls to be shifting the focus a little bit because it's very different with boys, but I've been enjoying it, other than, you know, not being able to see them for a while because of COVID and travel restrictions and safety concerns. I've been pretty active in the community. When I first arrived in Bonner County, I was a family services coordinator for Sandpoint Head Start. And I moved on from there to being an English professor, which was my actual degree, was in English, and for North Idaho College in Sandpoint. And about a year and a half ago, I retired from NIC. I've also been a member of the Angels Over Sandpoint for many, many years. And I have served on the board and as president of the Angels. I've served on a variety of other boards. Habitat for Humanity and the Food Bank both come to mind. And I love this community so much, and I want to do anything I can to give back and to keep it the wonderful place it is. I'm, of course, an outdoor enthusiast. I do a lot of walking in the area, kayaking, bike riding, camping. My husband and I like to kayak camp, and just, you can only bring what will fit in your boats. And there's a lot of freedom in that, and it's just wonderful. Not sure if I have a whole heck of a lot else.
Okay, that's pretty good. And how long have you been on the library board now?
6 years, and I've been serving as chair for 2 years.
Okay. Well, why are you throwing your hat in the ring for another term?
Well, it does seem a little crazy, doesn't it? The truth is, when I ran 6 years ago, I was a little bit ambivalent. I was still working full time. A staff person at the library had actually approached me about running for the board. And I was a little concerned because I realized not only was it a 6-year commitment, but there was also additional committee participation that was going to be required. And although I have a lifelong love of libraries and worked at the acquisitions department of my college library when I was in school, I was just a little hesitant that I might be getting in over my head a little bit. Well, very quickly, it takes about 2 years to really get up to speed. The binder is about 5 inches thick for the trustee manual. And so it did take, I would say, you know, about 2 years before I really felt like I hit my stride and I understood the workings of the library sufficiently. And at that point, I started absolutely loving it. And I was so glad that I had been elected. And I was honestly shocked when I found out that I was going to be up for re-election this year, because the 6 years just seemed to fly by. I love the board members. We have an excellent staff and we are just so productive, and it's so easy to work with everyone. It's just been a wonderful experience, and I feel like I'm making a difference, and that's what it's all about, contributing to my community in a positive way, and I want to keep doing it.
Okay, so I'm asking everybody basically the same questions, and I think I know the answer to this one, but have you ever attended a library board meeting?
I have attended more meetings than I would care to count, to tell you the truth.
You probably could count.
Yeah, I can't tell you, but yes, many.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much of a user are you personally of the library services?
I primarily use the library for digital books, print books, DVDs, and sometimes the databases for research. I actually utilized the library quite a bit more before I retired, because I would take my English 102 students to the library for a field trip and to get an understanding of what was available digitally and the databases and how to use them and how to seek out high quality scholarly information, because there's so much stuff out there on the internet, and it's important for students who are researching and trying to present an argumentative and persuasive essay. They need to understand, how do you find high quality legitimate information? So I spent a lot of time at the library with my students. Every semester we did that. With the virus and everything, you know, I've slowed down, and to tell you the truth, I've moved into town where I can actually stream video content, so I'm doing that quite a bit more than the DVDs these days. Even my role as trustee aside, I typically visit the library at least once a week.
So you've touched on some of the diverse services that the library offers now, but I think we all know that libraries are still a lot about books. So are you a reader or a book lover yourself? And are there any books you've read you'd like to mention?
I am an avid reader. I remember going to my local library when I was about 8 years old. Every week I would check out the 10 books that was the maximum allowed, bring them home, devour them all, and take them back the following week and get 10 more. So, and you know, having a master's degree in English, obviously I'm well read and I've had to read a lot. I'm in two book clubs, so obviously that keeps me reading. And what I love about that is the diversity. You know, I would gravitate to certain things that seemed interesting to me. Novels are pretty standard, although I do read nonfiction and other things too. But it's really nice to be in a book club, in two book clubs, because you get other people are selecting books that I wouldn't necessarily have found on my own or selected on my own. I don't really have a current recommendation right now, although the book I'm reading right now, which is a memoir, called Sometimes Brilliant by Larry Brilliant is about the eradication of smallpox in India. And it's an amazing story. And it's very, very easy to read, even though it's memoir and pretty factual. And that's probably not something I ever would have found or picked up on my own. So I'm enjoying that book a lot.
Yeah, that sounds very relevant to what we're currently experiencing too.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about what you might consider to be issues for the library that you think voters should be weighing as they decide who they're going to vote for. What would you identify as two or three library issues that are relevant in this election?
Well, to my way of thinking, the only real issue, quote unquote, has been our mask requirement. Everything else is not, it's not, in my mind, an issue is like a problem that needs to be addressed. And yes, the library has a few things. For example, we are in dire need of a new bookmobile. We've had that bookmobile for over 20 years now. It's on its last legs. Repairs are very costly if they can be performed at all. And so we are moving forward. It's not really an issue, but it's a problem that we're addressing. And I'm on the facilities committee that's looking into that and researching our options.
What about the mask mandate? Tell us what your position is on that.
Okay. Well, my position and my attitude about the mask requirement is shifting. And actually, by the time this interview airs, the board will have met and made some changes. I can't speak to what those changes are today, but in terms of my way of thinking, at the time we put the mandate in place, it made solid sense in this is the absolute best and safest choice we can make for our community, both our staff, our patrons, and the community at large. And at that point, because we were with COVID, we were essentially building a plane that was already in flight. There wasn't any way at that point to say we're going to have this in place for X number of time. And we really didn't know enough then to even be able to establish criteria that we could consider for eliminating the requirement. I think now we're at the point where we have a lot of options and a lot of other things we can consider. And as I said, the board will be meeting and we will be moving forward. I can't unilaterally speak for what the decision will be, but I'm personally, and I believe most of the board feels this way too, we're ready to move forward and get ourselves out of this situation. We're moving very quickly in a direction where it will no longer be necessary.
The mask requirement is likely to ease in your view.
Some way or another, yes. And eventually, of course, the goal will be to eliminate it entirely.
Yeah, hopefully we can do that for the whole community. Right now, the Panhandle Health District, of course, has removed the mask mandate that they had for the five northern counties, but they still recommend using the mask in certain situations where people are gathering together. So that's a recommendation and not part of their requirement. You mentioned the need for a new bookmobile. Does that mean that the library might do another capital campaign for that?
No. We won't need that. We have enough in our capital fund to be able to cover the cost of a new bookmobile. So we're good. We've had excellent fiscal management with Ann Nichols, our director, and so the funds are already in place and ready. Mm-hmm.
And I think you were on the board when the capital campaign was underway for the library expansion. Is that correct? But that must have been a big effort.
Yeah, well, yes, but the truth is, again, because of strong fiscal management, we did not, of course, we did solicit some donations from community members, but we did not ask Bonner County citizens to foot the bill on that expansion. Those were funds that we were able to access from other sources and resources. And that was part of our commitment at the time. We want to be able to do this without any burden to taxpayers.
And of course, that enabled you to build some significant expansion to the library. How has that been received? You have new meeting rooms. You have some new areas for kids and.
Yeah, it's been very well received. And, you know, we were so sad when we had to have, discontinue using the meeting rooms. They are available again now. But for a while there, we weren't allowing groups to meet in the meeting rooms. And of course, we haven't had the story hour or any of the children or youth programs. And believe me, everybody is ready to get back up and running full speed. But we just have to tread cautiously because we don't want there to be health issues as a result of it.
Okay. We have just a couple minutes left. Are there any other issues that you'd like to see voters be considering as they decide who they're going to vote for?
Well, I do want to mention one more element of our mask requirement, and that is that we never perceive this, and we still don't perceive this as a First Amendment issue, which is what the people who have been protesting the requirement have argued. In our way of thinking, first of all, the library is, and the library itself and the trustees are an apolitical group. We have a wide variety of different people on our board with different political beliefs, and that has nothing to do with our ability to function. So when this all came up and the masks became so politicalized, we were very sad about that because we just did not perceive it as that, and we had such an outpouring of support from the community that we were confident that we were making a good decision.
Okay. Well, we have hit about the end of our time here. Got about a minute to make a little closing statement. Why should people vote for Amy Flint?
Well, first of all, experience counts for a lot in a role like this. That's why the trustee positions last for 6 years, because otherwise, there's too much upheaval and too much starting over and regrouping each time. I believe that I'm doing an amazing job, not only because of my experience, but because of who I am. I'm open-minded. I listen to all viewpoints. I'm a great researcher. So I feel like I'm a real asset to the board, and I'd like to continue to offer my service.
Hey, well, Amy Flint, a candidate and incumbent for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much, Chris. I look forward to hearing it next week.
We're speaking now with Jalen Peters, and he's a candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees. Jalen, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with an introduction. Tell us a bit about yourself, including how and when did you wind up here in Bonner County?
Sure. Yeah, so I've been in Idaho for almost 4 years, Bonner County for all of that. I came from Arizona with my family, and so I've been here for about 4 years, married, got 3 boys, we homeschool them, and I own my own business. Handyman business here in the area. So, yeah. Oh, and a side note, I love pickleball. So there you go.
Yeah, pickleball is all the rage now.
Yeah.
I've only played a couple times, but it was pretty fun. I can see how it's good exercise, too.
Yeah, it's highly addicting.
So give us a little bit more about your professional or personal experience that you think provides good qualifications for position on the Board of Trustees.
Sure. Well, just to point out before I go down those, you know, I've had this question a lot, and some of the other candidates keep pointing out their qualifications and how they're the most qualified. And, you know, I just want to point out that I'm not running for the library director position. So the qualifications for running the library per se, I don't need as many of those, and none of the candidates really do. So just to point that out, I believe that the library board trustee positions need to be diverse. And I think the last few years it hasn't been. It's been everybody with the same ideas, the same backgrounds, and kind of it's been going in the same direction with no outside views. So pointing that out, I've been in construction for almost my whole adult life, framing and doing drywall with my dad as a kid and all the way to my handyman business I have now in Arizona. I worked for a residential contractor, being a superintendent and project manager. So I have overseen budgets for up to $1 million+ homes. And so I'm well aware on how budgets work and balancing those and staying within those guidelines. And I think that's very needed to be on the board, as well as just administration. I'm highly administrative. I have organized many outreaches and community outreaches, building trips, medical missions trips. I was a pastor in Arizona for a few years, and so I've been a part of board meetings and working with people and overseeing the budgets of a church. And so I have quite a few qualifications when it comes down to administering this board position. And I think having those that background of working with people and overseeing the budgets and problem solving is very important to the position. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about my background.
Okay. You mentioned that you were pastoring in Arizona. Have you held other elective offices, or are there any other nonprofit groups you'd like to mention?
No, not really. I mean, I've been a part of boards here and there, like Little League boards and things like that, but nothing in the, you know, the public offices or anything like that where it's been a vote of the public per se, but yeah.
Okay, so here's the gold standard question. Why are you running for library trustee?
Well, I've noticed the last 3-4 years, the political climate in our country and all over the state and everything has been really polarizing, and there's been a lot of disunity all over the place, and cancel culture and people accusing and calling names and all of that. And, you know, I've just felt this tug in my heart to I can't run for something on a federal level or even a state level probably, and so I know I have to kind of focus on my family first and then go out from there. And so I've looked at the local positions, and you know, 2020 and late 19 with all this Wuhan virus stuff that's been happening kind of spurred me on a little bit faster to run for the position. But I would say that I would probably have run for this position even if none of that was going on, just seeing the need for getting involved in our community and being a part of these local offices. And, you know, I love the library. I take my kids, or I used to before COVID came and started happening here, and the mask mandates, which I don't believe is right, which I'm sure we'll probably get into. But yeah, so not attending the library with my kids 1 to 2-3 times a week is kind of unacceptable. So I want to get involved and try to make some changes there.
Okay, well, that was actually one of my questions, is are you a user of library services? And it sounds like you have been going to the library quite a bit with your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we homeschool our kids, and even before we did that, we would frequent whatever library was in our area at least once a week, if not more, with my kids, and take part in maybe even little classes that they have, or, you know, little fairs that they would bring in with animals or whatever. But, you know, yeah, that's probably the main thing we use the library for, is frequenting it with my kids. But yeah, I've also used it myself for research and different things. So yeah, I do frequent the library often, or used to.
So the library provides really diverse services now in this information age we're in, but still about books. Do you consider yourself a reader? Are you a book lover? Any books you want to mention you've read?
Yeah, I am a book lover. It's hard for me to, I will say the availability of books, Audible or online, you know, where you can listen to them, is really big for me. So I have struggled to put my eyes to a page. It just seems like I don't have the time to do that. So having the availability to listen to books while I drive is huge. And so I will mention one series I loved, and I'm actually listening to it with my kids right now, is the Rhaera Revelations. It's about, yeah, so I'll just let people research that.
Okay, Rhaera Revelations. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So, Jalen, what do you consider to be issues for the library that you'd like voters to consider when they're deciding who they're going to vote for?
So I've noticed over the past few months, some of the seminars and webinars and or classes, whatever you call them, that have come to the local library have been things that I don't necessarily agree with, and I think the majority of our area wouldn't agree with, such as white supremacy being a major problem. I do believe that racism exists, but I don't believe that white supremacy is the only form of racism. And I don't necessarily think that it's a problem that needs to be focused on from our local library, as well as they also had some seminars on global warming, the theory of global warming. And I want to say I'm okay with those being offered, but I feel like the free marketplace of ideas where there's not alternative viewpoints or alternative theories or facts presented that would be contrary to maybe those seminars that they're offering at the library. I feel like that idea of the free marketplace of ideas is kind of an issue potentially in our library, where the viewpoints of the board are being presented, but maybe alternative viewpoints aren't being presented equally. And so I think that could be something to be improved. I also feel like the meeting room availability, you know, a lot of tax dollars have been spent to improve the community meeting rooms, and I want to really research their availability to the community and making those really available for use at all costs, and maybe even researching and getting those rooms to be available for homeschoolers during the day when attendance might be a little lower. There's a lot of homeschoolers in our area, and I feel like improving the homeschool pool usage of the meeting rooms and the library, especially during the day school hours, would be huge, a huge need that could be met from our library. A last thing real quick is I feel like the employee and volunteer staff at the library can be improved. I feel like I've had some encounters with some of the staff there, and whether they're volunteer or paid, I'm not exactly sure, but I do feel like that there's some lack of professionalism at times, cordiality, kindness, empathy. And so as a professional that would hire and fire somebody in my own job, I feel like some of that is unacceptable and needs to be addressed as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's based on your experiences. Have you heard that from other folks that use the library?
I have, yeah. I've heard that from quite a few folks. And, you know, some of it may be this last year with COVID and the unconstitutional mandates that the board has set in place for mask policies. And so outside of that, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I do know that it was difficult for me to even get the paperwork to fill out the forms to put my name on this ballot for this election. And when I went in to inquire on that, I was met with immediate opposition and disgruntlement. So, yeah, I know it's my experience at times, and I have heard that from other people.
Okay. We only got a few more minutes left, but one of the big issues has been the mask mandate. And sure. I think you've already kind of said you're not in favor of that, but can you expound on just a minute or so on your views on the mask mandate?
Sure. I don't agree with them. I feel like, I mean, the mask mandates per se, I feel like if people want to wear masks to protect themselves, they have the right to do that. And I also feel like people have the right to not wear them if they don't feel they're necessary. And that's the bottom line, you know, letting people choose. Same thing with the experimental vaccination happening right now. I feel like it's people's right to choose. There should be nothing forced. And that's why we live in America. It's a free society with personal liberties. Without those personal liberties, we don't have collective liberties. So I think that the mandates are unconstitutional, and outside of the Constitution, there is no law at all.
walking the line between, you know, the individual choice to wear the mandate, but also the folks that want to use the library that might have health conditions and are concerned about that.
Sure.
How do you take them into account?
Yeah, so the library does offer quite a bit of online services and book mobile and curbside services. And so the way that the library board has set the policies is that people that are healthy and not needing to wear the masks are the ones being penalized and having to use those services and not enter the library. And in our world, we've never quarantined the healthy. We quarantine the sick, and those that are in need of wearing the mask and needing that for their health should be the ones that maybe are offered those services as needing to protect themselves. What we've done is we've set this bubble to protect the people that need to wear the masks, but then all those majority that don't are the ones being penalized. So almost in a way flip-flopping the model and leaving it open to the public for those that don't want to wear a mask. And if you do need to wear a mask, then you take advantage of the services offered.
And there's so much more to talk about, but I hate to say it, we're about out of time. You got about 30 seconds left, Jalen. You know, do you want to make any closing statement or throw out a pitch why people should vote for you?
Sure. I mean, vote for me because I'll listen to the public and the majority especially, and I'll take their views into account and get assessments from the public, which is huge. I also wanted to mention that there's emails going around from the Democrat Party that they're saying that there's extremists wanting to be on the board to censor books. That's talking about myself and another candidate. I want to just make it clear I am not for censoring material. And so, yeah, just putting that plug out there. If anyone's got that email, I am not for censoring.
Okay. Jalen Peters, candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees, thanks for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We're speaking now with Kathy Rose. She's a candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees. Kathy, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks, Chris, for giving me the opportunity.
Well, let's start with an introduction. Tell us a bit about yourself, including how and why and when did you wind up here in Bonner County?
Sure. My husband and I moved to Bonner County about 7 years ago. We were looking for a beautiful place to retire and kind of go into a simple life mode in a state that still values family and liberty. And it didn't take long after we got here to realize that Idaho is going down the same path as some of those blue states. So we knew we had to remain engaged in our community.
Okay. And what professional or personal experience would you like to tell Boulders about that you consider to provide good qualifications for the Board of Trustees?
Sure. In my professional life, I was actually a small business owner for 22 years. Where I basically ran the show, the budget, inventory, sales, customer service, wore every hat there. I also have worked in manufacturing situations in the private sector. And I have served on several boards. I was elected to a school board. And I've also served on the Bonner County Republican Central Committee for their secretary for the last 5 years. I served as a vice president of the Bonner County Republican Women for 2 years. I believe my experience is a wide range of skills.
Okay. Well, here's the question I'm asking all the candidates. Why are you running for library trustee?
I'm running for library trustee because I really love our library. I used to frequent it often. And, of course, this past year has been a year that's unprecedented, and there's some major issues that have arisen. And 2 years ago, I was thinking about running, but somebody else stepped up, and I let them have their chance to run. So this year I threw my hat in.
Okay. And have you ever attended a library board meeting?
Yes, I have.
So you already kind of answered my next question, but how much of a user are you of library services? What kinds of services do you use there?
Well, I used to, I use the internet and the computers. I've used the seed library, which is a really valuable resource. I take out books, DVDs. I attended meetings in their meeting rooms. So there's a wide variety of services that I used. But over the last year, I haven't visited because of the policies that have been in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned the seed library. That's something folks might not be acquainted with, but that's a cool service there. You can actually check out seeds for your for your garden.
Right, and you can bring in your extras.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat. One of those things about the library that provides, you know, such a diverse services that people don't even really necessarily think about. And speaking of diverse services, here's a question I like to ask all the candidates. Are you a reader or a book lover yourself? And are there any books you'd like to mention?
I read every day. Actually, my current profession, I'm a document control specialist, so I'm constantly reading different types of literature, you know, from technical writing to stories. But yes, I love reading, and well, the book that I read the most is the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the number one bestseller every year, as I understand. Okay, so let's talk about issues. What do you consider to be issues for the library that you think voters should be paying mind to when they decide who they're going to vote for?
Well, the hot topic is the mask mandate, of course. And I just feel that this is something that Panhandle Health, who is our local health experts, you know, they instituted their mask mandate in November, and they've since terminated it. But the library board is refusing to even tell us what criteria they're going to use to terminate their policy. And this is something it's making a lot of people feel unwelcome, and it's just not, what can I say, the library is a welcoming place for everybody. It should be a place for education and knowledge and sharing your thoughts. And it's discriminatory with this policy. So I'm offering those who feel like they don't have a voice on this current board some representation based on that policy. The other issue on my heart is the cancel culture that is creeping up in this country. Back in March, when they deemed pictures in a Dr. Seuss book as being offensive, I just think that's nonsense. And I don't want that creeping into North Idaho. I want to preserve our culture and our history.
I'm not at all acquainted with whether the library had those. There was, I think, a couple books, two or three of the Dr. Seuss books that the estate of Dr. Seuss decided they would not keep in print.
Right.
Are those books in our library? I'm not even, don't even have an idea.
I did look up some. They don't have all of the six that were in question, but they do have like Mulberry Street and a couple, just a couple others.
And did the library take those out after this whole
thing? No, they did not do that, but I don't want that happening in the future.
Okay. Any other issues that you would like to, you know, bring to voters' attention here?
Well, I just feel that the board right now, as it is, it needs some balance. It needs to represent the diversity of the community that it's serving.
Okay. Well, one big part of being on the board of any nonprofit or governmental unit is oversight of the budget. Do you think the library is doing a good job managing its budget?
I can't really answer that, you know, as a definite, because I haven't been privileged to keep up with that. It's a little difficult to find some public records at the library. I asked for some L2s, and they told me they don't have copies there. They had to go to the county to get it, which I think is a concern. I think the district should be holding copies of their documents. So I think there's a little lack of transparency there.
Okay.
But if I had to answer that question, I'd say they're doing well with their budget. I don't see anything that's, you know, way out of line.
Yeah, they seem to be, well, I think they're required to maintain a balanced budget. So.
Right.
Were you at all involved in the expansion of the library, the capital campaign that they had?
No, I was not. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, we have time for you to bring up any other issues that you would like to, or offer a a statement on what you think voters ought to be considering as they go to the polls.
Sure. I believe I bring experience that's diverse. The current incumbents are promoting themselves as being the most qualified, and I do agree that they have extensive experience in the library field. But I think the board does need some balance, and being a small business owner and working in the private sector and actually being just a typical resident taxpayer, that I could bring some balance to the board and some diversity. My beliefs are based in the Constitution, moral law, personal responsibility, and our God-given rights. And I do see this, the library is a focal point of the community. It has to be welcoming and accessible to everybody. Unfortunately, this policy has caused further division in this community, and that needs to change.
Okay. Well, Kathy Rose, candidate for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees, I'd like to say again, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you, Chris, and don't forget to vote May 18th.
That's it for our Community Conversations show today. If you've just tuned in, we've presented here interviews with the four candidates for the East Bonner County Library Board of Trustees. We've talked with incumbents Janine Ash and Amy Flint, and challengers Jalen Peters and Kathy Rose. If you did miss some or all of our show, you can go hear all the candidates in the recorded podcast by going to our website at www.krfy.org and clicking on the podcast page. And remember, Election Day is Tuesday, May 18th, when all regular county polling places will be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. But right now, early voting is underway, and you can go vote any business day up till Friday, May 14th, at the Bonner County Elections Office in the County Building at 1500 Highway 2. If you're not yet registered to vote, you can register at the polls. One good resource for voters worth mentioning is the Election Central on sandpointonline.com, where you can see all the races and measures that will be on the ballot, as well as candidate profiles and links to KRFY's audio recordings, too. You can find it at www.sandpointonline.com and look for the Election Central Go Vote item. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. A program note, next Tuesday, May 11th, our Community Conversations program will be on kids' outdoors programs coming up this summer. And next Thursday, May 13th, we'll have more election coverage as we interview the five candidates for the Pend'Oeuvre Hospital District Board of Trustees. Airtime for our Community Conversations shows is 8 a.m., or you can catch those podcasts on our website at krfy.org. Thanks for listening today.